Chapter 32. They are excellent, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey.
Very fair, indeed, apostrophe said Mrs. Pipchin, in a low voice, never disposed to give too much encouragement.
Mrs. Pipchin, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey, wheeling round, will, with your permission, Dr. and Mrs. Blimmer, visit Paul now and then.
Apostrophe, whenever Mrs. Pipchin pleases, apostrophe observed the doctor.
Always happy to see her, apostrophe said Mrs. Blimmer.
I think, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey, I have given all the trouble I need, and may take my leave.
Paul, my child, apostrophe he went close to him, as he sat upon the table.
Goodbye.
Apostrophe, goodbye, Papa.
Apostrophe, the limp and careless little hand that Mr. Dombey took in his was singularly out of keeping with the wistful face. But he had no part in its sorrowful expression. It was not addressed to him.
No, no. To Florence, all to Florence.
If Mr. Dombey in his insolence of wealth had ever made an enemy, hard to appease, and cruelly vindictive in his hate, even such an enemy might have received the pang that wrung his proud heart then, as compensation for his injury. He bent down over his boy and kissed him. If his sight were dimmed as he did so, by something that for a moment blurred the little face and made it indistinct to him, his mental vision may have been, for that short time, the clearer perhaps.
I shall see you soon, Paul. You are free on Saturdays and Sundays, you know.
Apostrophe, yes, Papa, apostrophe returned Paul, looking at his sister.
On Saturdays and Sundays.
Apostrophe, and you will try and learn a great deal here, and be a clever man, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey, won't you?
Apostrophe, apostrophe, I'll try, apostrophe returned the child, wearily.
And you will soon be grown up now.
Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Dombey.
Oh, very soon.
Apostrophe replied the child.
Once more the old look passed rapidly across his features like a strange light. It fell on Mrs. Pipchin, and extinguished itself in her black dress.
That excellent ogress stepped forward to take leave, and to bear off Florence, which she had long been thirsting to do.
The move on her part roused Mr. Dombey, whose eyes were fixed on Paul.
After patting him on the head, and pressing his small hand again, he took leave of Dr. Blimmer, Mrs. Blimmer, and Miss Blimmer, with his usual polite frigidity, and walked out of the study.
Despite his entreaty that they would not think of stirring, Dr. Blimmer, Mrs. Blimmer, and Miss Blimmer all pressed forward to attend him to the hall, and thus Mrs. Pipchin got into a state of entanglement with Miss Blimmer and the doctor, and was crowded out of the study before she could clutch Florence.
To which happy accident Paul stood afterwards indebted for the dear remembrance that Florence ran back to throw her arms round his neck, and that hers was the last face in the doorway,
turned towards him with a smile of encouragement, the brighter for the tears through which it beamed.
It made his childish bosom heave and swell when it was gone, and sent the globes, the books, blind Homer and Minerva, swimming round the room.
But they stopped, all of a sudden, and then he heard the loud clock in the hall still gravely inquiring, "How is my lit? Lee, friend? How is my lit, Lee, friend?"
Apostrophe as it had done before.
He sat, with folded hands, upon his pedestal, silently listening.
But he might have answered weary, weary,
very lonely, very sad.
Apostrophe and there, with an aching void in his young heart, and all outside so cold, and bare, and strange. Paul sat as if he had taken life unfurnished, and the upholsterer were never coming.
Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.